Welcome to Meet the Author. Today's guest is, What is your name, sir?
Anonymous.
Anonymous.
I'd rather not give you my name because it might prejudice my readers.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the title of your book?
We haven't really settled on a title yet.
So no title and you're anonymous.
Yeah, but I'm very grateful for this chance to promote my book.
All right. Then what is your book about?
I'd want that to be a surprise.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So
I think it's my finest work.
Is it nonfiction, fiction, a novel, a biography?
It's all of that.
All of that.
And yet none of it. Yeah.
Okay, well, look, why would people want to buy, much less read, a book that you won't tell us anything about?
Well, they're just going to have to trust me on this.
Yeah, sure, why wouldn't they?
My book has been optioned as a movie, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, it's shooting right now.
What's the name of the movie?
We really can't.
Never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Steve, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and thunder.
They said it would never happen again. And then, Lisa Foster said, "Hey, Pat, let's do another podcast." And they did.
I was pretty hammered when I suggested we do another one.
Were you pretty hammered? Yeah.
Yeah.
What were we saying? You before we began recording, you said, "Hey, what's the matter with you, Pat? You sound all messed up." I like that expression.
Well, It's your expression, and it makes me laugh because it doesn't matter, like, when you had your shoulder injury, you didn't say, "Yeah, I hurt my shoulder." You're like, "Man, my shoulder's all messed up." And then, and then when I told you I went and got some procedure done on my face, you hadn't seen me, but you asked me, you go, "So, wait, is your face all messed up?" I just love that phrase. It's all messed up, man.
I spent 14 years, I never told you about this before, in medical school. I never got very far, but that's what
was like a medical term, like an actual term?
It is a medical term. Doctors generally don't say it in front of patients, but when they're by themselves, that's what they say. "Yes, I appear to have a edema of the left ventricle of the tetrachthon. Thank you, doctor. Goodbye."
"Goodbye. Good luck."
"Is he gone?" "Yes." "Yeah, that guy's all messed up. He's really messed up."
It really, you don't need any other explanation beyond that. It's just messed up.
Yeah.
Which,
right.
Yeah. So, and speaking of, how is your shoulder? Is it still messed up?
Well, yeah, it is kind of messed up. And thank you for asking. And I also have a bad hip.
Oh, geez.
Which is getting worse. You know you're messed up when you can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
And this has been pretty much happening for 6 months. Sometimes I go right up. And I walk around during the day. Everything's fine. I mean, I feel little tweaks and stuff, but no big deal. You can get in the car, go someplace, sit around, watch TV. But come bedtime, once you're lying down finally and trying to go to sleep, man, that's when everything starts hurting. It's weird. So, yeah, I have been having physical therapy on this shoulder. Really nice people there. And the exercises they give you are kind of wimpy at first. you're just pulling little rubber bands, you know. Lift this and try that.
Lift this can of peas.
That's pretty much it, Lacey. Yeah.
I know. I know.
The guy gave me 3-pound weights for each arm. And I tell you the truth.
And he said, "Let me know if it's too much."
Well, it is too much. I can't get my injured shoulder straight up in the air. And that was embarrassing to me. I thought, this is no weight. 3 pounds on each arm. I told a friend, I said, "I've bench pressed bigger than I ever have in my life today. 6 pounds. Wow, that's good.
Sorry.
You're getting stronger all the time. Yeah, so it's kind of weird. One time I was playing basketball, a pickup basketball game, and I was chasing a guy down the floor who was about to make an easy layup from the other team. And I decided maybe I can jump from behind and block his shot. Well, not only did I crash into the guy, but then when I landed on his foot, twisting my ankle or twisting my knee.
Ew.
And then I was embarrassed by it. I really hurt. Nothing hurt like that. Then I walk around for a while and try to keep playing. And I could audibly hear a tearing sound in my knee.
Oh, God.
I was ripping my anterior cruciate ligament into shreds, as it turned out.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is just, yeah. I tore a ligament skiing once. And it was the most excruciating thing. I couldn't believe it. And the doctor was trying to get me to straighten my leg, and I'm screaming at him that I can't. That ligament stuff, man, you know what? Don't mess around with that when it's messed up.
Maybe looking through your camera roll, the tequila's starting to take a toll. I was hoping, baby, maybe you'd be as messed up as me.
I think this whoever invented skiing, just about every orthopedist and physical therapist owes a big debt of gratitude to,
no kidding,
to skiing, because, man, I don't know anybody who's skied for a long time, except one friend of mine who has skied over 50, almost 55 years. He's never been injured. But he's also intelligent. He doesn't try to jump over things that have never been tried before. He's pretty...
Yeah, but you don't have to jump over crap to hurt yourself. I wasn't jumping over anything. I was just skiing.
And it's usually caused by somebody else. Maybe you're trying to get out of their way. Like that basketball incident. If that guy hadn't shown up that night, I wouldn't have never blocked him and fallen on his foot. So
what a jerk.
Hey, let me run through some of these passings real quickly. Last week, I tried an experiment. I'm just going to get this over with this time.
Yep.
Okay. So first of all, Tommy Hunt, 91 years old, is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Back from 2001, he was inducted, along with the group that he belonged to, the Flamingos.
Oh.
This was their big hit from 1959, I Only Have Eyes for You.
My love must be a kind of blind love.
That's not supposed to be
in there. I only for you.
Then they tried some follow-up hits, and groups always do this. They think, well, if that one played so well, let's try this. And so they had I Only Have Ears for You, I Only Have a Nose for You, I Only Have a Uvula for You. I mean, it's just... They're trying to milk that cow too long.
I only have hands for you.
Yes. Never mind. Then Tommy, he got in a dispute of some kind with his fellow Flamingos, and so went on a solo career. This was a song he did, I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, 1962. Bigger hit for Dusty Springfield and Dionne Warwick, but this was the first recording of that Bacharach and David song, I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself.
I just don't know what to do with myself. Don't know just what to do with myself.
That's kind of common. Maybe not. I don't know. You just always hear of bands getting all fluffed up with each other and upset. Oh, yeah. And it's got to be just because it's a clash of egos, I imagine, is it creative differences? But they always end up getting pissed off at each other.
Hey, wait a minute, man. That's my girlfriend. Do stuff like
that. You think it's over? No, I don't think
sometimes.
It's over women.
No, I think it's all over everything. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Could be.
That's true.
I don't know. They like to say creative differences, and I just think it could be something as still, hey, man, that was my box of Cheetos. Okay, we're breaking up. That's it. That was the story of the Beatles. Somehow the Rolling Stones have stayed together, although they go their separate ways. And they probably don't love each other really that much, but it's more of a business proposition. For whatever reason, they're still going. And these guys are in their 80s now. Wow.
And they're not even dressing differently. They're not acting their age. which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know.
But it's astonishing.
Works. Yeah, it really is. Okay, let's go through a couple. You talked about people in their 80s still going strong. Here's a man who passed away at the age of 85. Tony Roberts. He was an actor. For one thing, he was in 6 Woody Allen movies.
Oh.
And under his breath, he said, Jew.
Harvey, you're a total paranoid.
What, how am I a paranoid? I pick up on those kind of things. You know, I was having lunch with some guys from NBC. So I said, did you eat yet or what? And Tom Christie said, no, Jew. Not did you. Jew eat? Jew? No, not did you eat, but Jew eat? Jew? You get it? Jew eat?
Max, you...
Stop calling me Max.
Why, Max? It's a good name for you. Max, you see conspiracies in everything.
Tony Robbins, he did stage and screen and...
Wait, hold on. Did you say
career.
Roberts or Robbins?
Oh, you're right. You're right. Tony Robbins is this guy.
If you can hunger to grow more, to be more, to give more, to do more, to share more, to become more, then you're never going to be bored, and you're always going to grow, and you're going to have fulfillment, and you're going to succeed.
The actor was Tony Roberts.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I can't.
It's easy to make that mistake because Tom Robbins, the author, also passed away in between the podcasts here. 92 years old, Tom Robbins. Have you ever read his stuff? Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
Yeah.
That was a big hit for him and made into a 1993 film directed by Gus Van Sant.
There have been many great drivers, but only one great passenger.
And I'm really moving. Stopping car.
And another Roadside Attraction was another big book for Tom Robbins. He came from North Carolina, then for some reason he moved to North Bend, Washington. Then he moved to Laconia in 1970, and he stayed there ever since. In an interview with the PI years ago, Robbins talked about his early days working at a newspaper.
During breaks, we were when we ran out of reading material, we would go up on the roof and smoke dope.
Here's a rhyme to rock and tell.
He's gone now, Tom Robbins. And a couple other quickies here. Well, just one other. Edith Mathis, 86 years old. And I know you have all her albums because you're a big Mozart fan. That, she was a Swiss soprano, and that was her wheelhouse, Mozart's operas. And also Gustav Mahler. Edith Mathis, well, you wouldn't know her from records and things, but you can hear her singing along with another woman in the movie Shawshank Redemption. You just hear their music. You don't see them.
Oh, okay.
This here. So that's the Edith Mathis collection. And there you have it. There you go. I guess we're all eating better because not many people are dying anymore. That's good news.
I noticed that I might have said this before, and if I did, forgive me. And it's not a criticism of any sort. It's just an observation.
Oh, boy.
I always like to.
Now, I hope you don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah, I always hate when people do a qualifier like that at the beginning of something.
Can I offer some constructive criticism?
It's not that I don't think you're smart.
No,
it's not that you. I don't think you're pretty,
don't take this the wrong way, you fat son of a.
No, I was going to say I noticed that your obituaries tend to be, or tributes as you like to call them, tend to be man heavy. Like you might slide in one woman. What does that mean? Does that mean guys are croaking way faster than the chicks? What's happening there?
Oh, I think you know what it means, Lisa.
This is a man's world.
You can stop right there. You don't need to go any further. You don't need to go any further because we all know that.
Well, I think women outlive men. How about that? Yeah, so there's fewer deaths to report.
Yeah.
Although I guess.
But at this rate, you guys are all going to be gone and it's just going to be us. And
all the Amazon women left. If they want to continue to work there, of course. we were talking a minute ago about physical therapy and stuff like that. And I mentioned blowing my knee out 1 year. So I go.
You messed
and
your
I
knee get, up? I, you messed your knee up?
I messed it up. And so rather than get it repaired, they can replace your old anterior ligament or any other ligaments with a ligament that's not as significant from another part of your body.
If, ew, for, I don't even want to know.
Or even
what?
From a cadaver in some cases.
Oh, that's so creepy. Would you want to have a dead ligament in your body?
I don't want any more of them.
I think these lyrics work pretty well for that topic.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see that I'm no good without you? Take my arms, I won't lose them. Take my lips, I'll never use them.
I've got about four or five dead ligaments from different people. I have somebody else's left eye.
No, you don't. Stop.
Half of my brain belonged to not a very smart guy. I was told it was a nuclear physicist, but it turns out not to be. Yeah. No, I guess you wouldn't think about it. I mean, you always heard like heart transplants or a guy's got a pig's heart.
Yeah.
If you're alive, I guess you'd say, well, given the circumstances or the choices, I guess I'm okay with it. So what if I got a pig's heart? I don't care as long as I'm alive.
I'm an organ donor.
Didn't it belong to your grandma?
No, I'm saying it's kind of weird to think about, you know, my eyes aren't great, but you know, if there's still some use in them, I'd like them to go into someone else's head that needs them. I think that I have pretty eyes.
Oh, jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those eyes?
And I do wonder what... See, now this brings up all sorts of stuff for me. How long do eyes last? Like, could the next person who has my eyes, then they croak? Could those eyes get past? How many generations can these eyes go on before they just become non-viable? Am I getting too weird here? Hello? Are you there?
No weirder than usual.
This is the crap I think about.
Everybody thinks about it.
People can the eyes go into? Is it just one transfer and that's it? It's over?
One transfer of two eyes or two transfers to two cyclops.
Yeah.
I wonder if Sammy Davis Jr. was an eye donor. I don't know the answer to that.
I will tell you this,
I don't think I have, I'm an organ donor too, if you can read it on my driver's license, but frankly, I think when they bring my body in, that they're going to take about an hour and they're going to say, I don't know about you, Dr. Jenkins, but I can't find anything that I can give to anybody else.
What about that right foot?
Oh no, not that. Look at the bunions on that thing. Nobody wants that. No, that's way too small. Let's see. I really can't find anything here.
What about your crooked finger?
Let's just say we did and don't. My fingers are all messed up.
I know, but they're cool. I think somebody would like to inherit your weird crooked fingers.
But I don't have a weird crooked finger anymore.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Remember that? I used to have a finger, my index finger.
I know.
Would swoop like the Nike swoop logo.
I know.
So that I could aim, point straight out, but it would appear that I'm pointing uphill because the finger would bend up.
You were such a freak.
Yeah.
What do you mean that you don't have that anymore? What's going on?
I guess in my advanced age now, it doesn't bend that way anymore. It's more straight.
Oh.
And they're all messed up.
I know, but that was such a fun party trick. So
oh, it was. It was. The reason I continue to bring this physical therapy up, that when I did blow my knee out, then I went to physical therapy. First time in my life. My knee was all puffy and it wouldn't bend. And I walked with a profound limp. I had to use crutches for a while. In fact, back in the day, my wife and I took a trip to Hawaii and I come up with my crutches And they say, oh, this man needs some special help. And they wheeled me onto the plane and they put us in first class.
Yes.
And I thought, this could be a pretty good scam for somebody. You come up on a set of crutches. But right. I believe since those days, they now say, well, we'll need to see a doctor's report or something official. We can't just take your word for it that you're messed up.
Oh, that's easy to forge. We could forge one of those.
Yeah, I guess so. Any kid who forged his report card with his parents' name can pull this off, too. I guarantee right. it. So I go for physical therapy, and there's an older woman, older than me anyway, and she's obviously from Scandinavia. I can't remember her last name, but her first name was Olga. Maybe she was German. Now, let's say she was German, because she was a taskmaster.
All right, Mr. Cashman, today we are going to try to bend your knee a little bit.
It doesn't really bend at all.
Well, that's why they're working on it now. Let me tell me when you can't stand it anymore.
And she started bending my knee, and I'm going, in my head, I'm going, but through my mouth, I'm going, no, that's okay. We're fine. I can go a little further than that. Yeah, a little further. No problem. For, several days a week, for a month, 2 months, and I'd always be the same. I'd come into the room, sometimes with crutches. Then I didn't need the crutches anymore, but I would limp, very, very big limp into the room to begin the PT.
And then on purpose, or were you faking?
Well, one day she finally said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm coming in for physical therapy.
Why are you limping?
Well, because my knee,
Oh, good God, that knee has happened months ago. You don't need to limp anymore.
What?
Stop limping! Go over to that side of the room and walk over here. Don't limp!
So I do it, and I walk over to her. No limp. I've been limping because I thought I needed to limp. And I think anybody who's recovering from an injury can relate to this.
You kind of favor it a little because you don't want to mess it up again.
You don't want to feel that pain again. So you get ridiculously cautious to the point, if it hadn't been for her, this probably happened 20 years ago, I'd probably still be limping. Unless somebody told me, hey, Cashman, you don't need to limp anymore. You can stagger if you'd like.
Okay, I'll switch to that.
I want to go back to your reluctance to be honest about your pain threshold. And I find this, again, pretty common with men who don't want to admit that it hurts.
Yeah.
And what is that? Why? How? What is that?
Well, I think there's...
How does that diminish you as a man in any way to, just say, ow, that hurts?
Well, it depends on how you say it. If I said it like you did, ow, that hurts.
Mr. Cashman, now tell me if this hurts.
Ow, yes, it hurts. God, man, how would you like it?
I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, why did you need to put on a brave face for her? Like, were you trying to impress her or just yourself? I'm trying to figure out the psychology behind
this.
Well,
now, I hate that this sounds so sexist, but if she was closer to my age and had certain qualities that were pleasing to the eye, I think you know where I'm going. Then that might have been made a difference. I would have said, I remember one time being at the dentist's office, and there was this really pretty young nurse, about my age, and rather well developed, shall I say. And I remember the dentist is saying, Cindy, would you hand me the something or other instrument? And she'd grab it and then reach across me.
Oh, geez.
To hand it to him. And I thought, this isn't so bad. I came in here with an abscess, and now it doesn't even seem to hurt anymore. So So I think there's something in there of that, Lisa, where, yes, guys, okay, even though they aren't conscious of it, they're going to try to look like big studs, even though, or anybody's not impressed anymore. You're an idiot.
Oh, yeah. And we are so, in general, just in general, we are no longer impressed.
Oh, I know. And it's silly, but it's funny. And I'm afraid maybe I'm not typical. I hope I am. But I don't care how old you are. You still kind of think that way a little bit.
Right. Mm. Sure.
You kind of suck your gut in when you're, you know, that kind of.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But on the other hand, I would say that something similar happens if I have a male physical therapist. It's a different, if it's a different dynamic, but the same result. You don't want to look like a wimp. You know, you want to show another male that you're just as macho as anybody, any other male guy.
Yeah.
So I think I would tend to hide my real pain from either gender for different reasons. Yeah.
So if you walked in and your arm had become detached.
Yes.
And you walked in and a male doctor or therapist said, oh my gosh. And you'd be like, yeah, it's not a huge deal. You'd say that.
Yeah, maybe.
It looks worse than it is. It's totally. But I should have you look at it. But I'm fine.
Yeah. Well,
that's what you.
Well, I think part of that, and you don't want to acknowledge to yourself that this is a serious injury. And
that's true.
And so if I downplay it, yeah, it's no biggie. I just kind of fell off a cliff of about half a mile and landed on my shoulder. But I'm fine. It's no big deal. Because if you come into their office and they go, oh boy, oh my God, excuse me, I think I'm going to be sick. I can't believe it. Dr. Bruffell, I mean, look at this. Have you ever seen anything like this? Oh my God. Oh, that's the worst horrifying thing I've ever. How do you feel, Mr. Cashman?
I'm fine. You know, it's no big deal. Yeah. It's fine.
It's not a big deal.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm the exact opposite. I mean,
I think women generally are better.
No, I don't mean I'm better. I'm a little more dramatic, like saying it hurts more than it really does,
so
that they'll take pity on me.
But on the plus side, I think women acknowledge an injury or something doesn't feel right or whatever, and they'll go to the doctor much more readily than men do. That's that's a generalization, but. You know, for me, I'd rather do anything than go to the doctor. It's like an admission of failure. It's like you're giving up. So here's
the
white
flag. For me, it's like I just don't like being uncomfortable in any way. So if it's the slightest bit of uncomfortableness, I will go immediately and have an expert take care of it. Please, I'm not comfortable. This doesn't feel right. Make it go away. So I'm not willing to sit with it. I'm very impatient about it. I want to get back to feeling uncomfortable.
Well, that's the way it should be. But I'm kind of an idiot, as you know.
Yes, I do.
Hey, you know, I promised, and this will only be an exception, that we wouldn't mention the new president of the United States. But I will have to say that there's one thing that he's stumbled upon that I agree with.
Oh, really?
It's not important, but, you know, he says a lot of things that aren't important. Focuses on things like Greenland and naming a body of water a different name, even though it's had that name since before Columbus ever landed. But it's his latest proclamation that we're going to get rid of the penny.
Yeah, you've never liked the penny. Well, you've been a penny hater.
No.
For as long as I.
No, I.
Oh, I thought you were a penny hater. I thought you thought they were dumb.
No, when I was 5, 6 years old, I loved pennies. You know, you could buy gum with penny. You could get.
That's true.
Yeah, penny can't get you anything now. And I read recently that it costs the Mint, the Treasury Department, it costs them 3 cents to make a penny. So,
really?
That can't possibly pencil out. Almost 3 cents.
Are we still making them? Why aren't we just using the ones we have?
Well, that's one of the arguments. An estimate says there's about 240 billion pennies, and most of them are sitting on your dresser.
Yeah, and I bet people have hoarded them, like they're in jars. I think also they get lost. Like, can you imagine how many pennies are at the bottom of the frickin' ocean
or
the lake? Yeah. There's probably pennies just laying around all over the place that you don't even see.
These,
in the forest, they're in the jungle,
yeah,
they're at the bottom of the river. They're all over the place.
The only reason I can think of for keeping the penny is so that boys have something to put on railroad tracks.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven.
And it was 48 years ago, and I'm reading here, in letters to Congress, William E. Simon, who was the Treasury Secretary, he begged lawmakers, give serious consideration to abandoning one-cent coins as soon as possible.
When was this? When?
This was 48 years ago.
Oh, 48 years ago?
Then 25 years ago, another guy, a director of the U.S. Mint, said, you know, two-thirds of the pennies produced in the last 30 years, from 69 to 99, have dropped out of circulation. So they don't even know where they are because nobody uses them for exchange anymore.
True.
They have become passé. They have no value. Go into any convenience store, and they got a little tray there. You can dump your change in there because it's filled with pennies.
Take a penny, leave a penny.
I go into a store, you know, where something is $3.08, and they'll say, here, just give me the $3. They don't want to even deal with the change.
But nobody even uses cash much anymore anyway. I mean, I'm not going into a store whipping out a $20 bill for my, you know, bottle of wine.
Yeah.
I'm whipping out my credit card.
Yeah, the only time I use cash, the only time I use cash is, like you implied, for drug buys and things like that.
I don't think I implied that,
That's okay. That's your business.
Or strippers. Or strippers use cash.
Yeah, or if you're paying somebody to murder somebody else, you don't want to leave a paper trail that leads right. back to you. So, you know what? Lately, though, I have been carrying cash in my pocket, and I find it kind of handy. And you're right. The most people are shocked when you hand it to them. Huh?
Right. They don't know what to do with it.
Then they have to figure out how to make change.
$1.16. Okay, let's see. I'm going to owe you. Hang on a second here.
Never mind. Keep it. You walk out.
But
it's nice having cash in my pocket. I want to get one of those cool. I used to admire when I was a kid. I'd watch these guys with their cool money clips. You know, they'd pull it out of their pants and they'd be wads of bills or anything. God, that looks so cool. What's happened
if
to the money clip?
If you're a gangster,
yes.
Because now it's a roll of bills. Like if you're a gangster or a drug dealer, you keep your money rolled in a roll with a rubber band around it. You don't keep it folded flat. It's in a roll.
Right. That'll be cash on a ballot, huh? You can take your choice. Yeah.
I was going to tell you, back to the penny thing, I had a, if you feel like it, Google penny tile floors. And those are actually really beautiful. I was going to actually penny tile my kitchen floor. And I started saving up pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you're just gluing them down on the floor. And then you cover the whole thing with epoxy or something.
Yeah, kind of a polymer thing. Yeah.
They're pretty stunning to look at. So maybe that's what we do with all the pennies.
Yeah.
Once they stop having any value at all.
Not about it. They used to have a type of shoe called the penny loafer too. If you had really big feet, you could use a 50 cent loafers. Penny loafers and Bobby socks, sweet 16 and she's a pretty top. She's got that crazy rhythm and never stops. She wears penny loafers and Bobby socks. When you were working at the bank, did they catch anybody in your time there? That on the inside that was sticking.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It was really, it really upset me personally because this was a supervisor of mine and she was taking, this is when I worked in the collections department at the bank where I collected on past due auto loans and she was the supervisor of that department. And she was somehow, and this is before our computer, you know, this was like 1,000 years ago before
right.
There was even electricity, but she had a system where she would actually skim off late fees. Like people would pay their payment and then there'd be late fees attached to it. And it was a separate entry you had to make.
That is a good idea.
You had the payment and then you had the late fee. And
somehow let me write that.
No, it's terrible. And she freaking embezzled all this money from just skimming off late fees from these people. And I was, I don't know why I felt personally betrayed by it, but it really upset me. So, were you writing that down?
Well, yeah, I think it's a great idea. But it would also hurt your feelings, I think, because you're thinking, well, I know I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm wondering from now on if bank managers and presidents are going to be looking at me like, well.
Oh, no. They wouldn't look at me.
She's a similar ilk.
No. I am such a goody two shoes straight shooter. I tell on people. If somebody's doing something wrong, I am like a narc. I'm a narc. I'm a straight shooter.
Don't tattle on me. Don't tattle on me. No, don't you speak or I might scream.
I adhere to the law, I adhere to rules. And I'm going to tell you a story today about somebody I was super mad at today. And I actually flipped them off because they didn't adhere to a rule. And I'm getting angrier and angrier about people who aren't adhering. And I don't know why. It's none of my business. I don't know why I get so mad. But anyway, go ahead.
You did what to that person?
I flipped them off.
Don't tattle on me.
You're really out of control.
Well, I don't normally do that stuff. I normally am have some measure of self-control when I'm angry.
You know what's so stupid, Lisa? And Pat, my wife Patty's noticed that I do this sometimes. Let's say walking down the street, I'm carrying something and then I dropped or it falls onto the sidewalk. I will flip off that object. It's an inanimate object. I'm flipping it. I do it all the time. Something annoying goes on.
I guess I showed her.
Isn't that stupid?
It's funny. No, it probably feels good.
Well, it doesn't accomplish much, but yeah, it feels pretty good.
Yeah, but that object had it coming.
I guess I showed her. Yeah. I guess I showed her.
So I'm taking my walk today, and I don't know why it even matters. I was actually going to ask for your counsel here. Not. I don't know. I didn't have anybody else to talk to, so I figured I'd ask.
Why didn't you call me during the walk?
Because I was too mad. So I'm taking my power walk, which I know you hate it when I say that, but I took my power walk today.
When you do the power walk, do you walk kind of stupid?
No.
You do that thing where you're throwing your arms out and
chugging
along.
No, I have a great walk. My walk is good. It's not dumb.
Is it slow?
No, it's a fast walk.
Well, so you're doing
shit to do.
So the power walk is throwing your arms out and really like you're a choo-choo train.
No, I do not look like a choo-choo train.
Is your walk as though there's a bad guy pursuing you from the rear?
Yes. That's what it is.
The Dark Knight, yes. And he's getting. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm scurrying right along. On my walk.
So it's not a saunter, it's not a sachet, it's not an amble.
No.
Yeah, it's a power walk. Okay, so you're walking along, minding mostly your own business, and...
Well, that's the thing, is why do I care what other people do? I don't know why it bugs me when people don't. And my thing is stop signs. I come to a full and complete stop at a stop sign.
Come on now, let's really hear it. Okay, let's stop hearing it.
I feel like that makes me better than other people, or if I'm just like, see, I am following the law. Look, I'm stopping at the stop sign.
But you can change the law. I will give an example where a house where we used to live at the end of our block, there was a stop sign there. Nobody observed the stop sign because you came to a clearing just at the stop sign where you could see traffic coming from a half mile either way. So you could tell at a glance, there's nobody coming. And most people would sail through the stop sign. Guess what though? The city then changed it to a yield sign. They saw that it was impractical to have a stop sign there because nobody stopped anyway. So then it became a yield sign. You can change the law.
I don't want to change it. These are four-way stops in the neighborhood, and these people blow. There's two stop signs that people blow through coming down a hill. There's one north of me, and there's one south of me. So I'm walking south today, and I knew it. I thought, I'm coming up to the crosswalk, and here I can see behind the tree this car that's not intending to slow down at the stop sign. And they just kind of roll right on through it with zero. It wasn't like they were speeding, but still, they just didn't stop. And I was one foot in the crosswalk, and I raised my hands at her, like, what the hell? That kind of a gesture.
Uh-huh.
And then she started laughing and drove off, and I flipped her off. Like a thug, I flipped her off. Like, what the hell is that going to do? I was so mad.
Was she out of sight by the time you flipped?
No, but I don't know if she was looking in her rear view mirror, but there was a truck that stopped at the other side. He saw everything. He saw me stomping, and then I stomped home.
Oh,
my power walk turned into
I'm actually on your side. Of course people shouldn't go sailing through four-way stops.
Stupid people.
How arrogant. The thing that...
But who cares? But can I ask you this? Because I'm still very pinched about it.
Yeah.
Why do I care? Why do I care if a woman I don't know doesn't stop at a stop sign? Why does that make me so mad?
Well, I think it's because, you know, you, as you said yourself, you're a lawful person. You may not like to stop at a stop sign, but you understand why it's there. There, you could be in a school neighborhood. Little kids could be wandering across. Somebody's cat could run across you, or another car that you didn't see around a corner. I think you're incensed because, oh, great, so the law doesn't apply to you, just to people like me.
That's what it is right there, Pat Cashman. Thank you. I was trying to figure out what was bugging me about it. That's it right there.
If you had the power, would you have arrested that woman?
I would have shot her.
You know what? I think we need to wrap this up.
Okay.
I don't like where this is going. Hey,
you're right.
Before we joke our way off here, I had an idea. This isn't an original idea, not by any stretch. And I didn't tell you about this in advance. Maybe you have something handy, but I know you're a prolific reader of books, actual books that maybe people don't do reading much anymore. I think they do, though.
Not a Kindle. I don't read on my phone. I am a book snob. It's got to be a book. And not only is it got to be a real book, I prefer hardback books. I don't even like these. I don't paperback
too.
Books.
Yeah. I do too. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So I thought, why don't we tell people at the end of our podcast what we're reading and whether we think the book sucks or if it's one that they might want to check out. I didn't give you a head up. I would like to submit for your approval a book by an author who's written a ton of stuff, like A Short History of Nearly Everything, A Walk in the Woods, The Life and Times of the Thunderbolt Kid, and stuff like that. Really prolific. Bill Bryson is his name. And a few years ago, he wrote a book called The Body, which sounds like a murder thriller, but it's actually a rather exhaustive explanation of our bodies, the different parts, how they work, how they developed, how they've changed. Yeah, it's really good.
I have that book.
It's a heavy lift, not that it's hard to read, but it's long. It's a big, thick book, but it just fascinating stuff in here. I get caught up in it. It just gives you a deeper understanding of your body, how it works. And anyway, Bill Bryson, A Guide for Occupants, The Body. Check it out. It's really good.
I am reading a fascinating book called 4,000 Weeks, with Time Management for Mortals. And this is by Oliver Berkman. And the synopsis is what caught my eye. 4,000 Weeks. It was written in a few years ago. This is a British author, Oliver Berkman. And the title, 4,000 Weeks, it draws from the premise that the average human lifespan is absurdly
short,
brief.
Yeah.
Short. And if you live, assuming you live to be 80 years old, you have just over 4,000 weeks. That's it. That's it.
If you break it down into weeks, that's pretty measly.
How are we? We're always so busy. We've got so many things to do, and it never ends. And it's a really interesting deep dive into how we choose to spend our time, things that we don't even realize we're spending time on. And it's kind of counter to all those books about life hacks, how to save more time. And it's really interesting. And it kind of makes you just sit and slow down for a bit and go, 4,000 weeks doesn't feel like a very long time. And then you start to think about, I think about all the weeks I wasted on the wrong men. I'm like, oh my God, I wasted 57 weeks on that jerk. I need to manage my time better. This is ridiculous.
Oh, I know. We can think of so many things or things that I want to accomplish before I shuffle off this mortal coil, and you don't, another day went by and I didn't get it done.
But that's the point, is that we are trying to pack too much in. And anyway, it's, again, called 4,000 Weeks. It's got a high rating. I'm only about halfway through it, and I'm finding it really fascinating.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Let me give you a joke. Now, this joke will make more sense to people of a certain kinds of professions, of which you would probably be included, and me. The joke will land better if you get the mentality here.
Sure.
You ready? Here we go. An actor came home to find his house ablaze with flames. There were fire trucks lining the street. His kids were crying. His wife was frantic. She ran up to him and said, "Honey, it was awful. I was making tea. Your agent called. So I picked up the phone and I must have left the burner on because the curtains caught fire. And then the whole place started burning. And I grabbed the kids and I got them out, but I think we lost everything. I thank God the kids are okay."
Wow.
The husband looked at her and said, "My agent called?"
"And every time it rains, panties from heaven.
Shoo-be-doo-be.
Don't you know each cloud contains panties from heaven?
Shoo-be-doo-be.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is up, upside down. And trade them for a package of sunshine and ravioli.
Macaroni.
If you want the things you love, you must have a pizzaoli, baby. And when you hear thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me."
Hey, go.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.